It is such a blessing to see everybody here this morning, especially our visitors that I have with us. I don't know that I could say especially. It is very good to have our visitors with us, but it is a blessing to see each and every one of you here and to worship our God together. If you'd like to turn with me, we're going to be beginning in Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. Why I didn't write down the main passage for this morning, I have no idea, but we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 44. I'm going to begin by reading the verses beginning in verse 6. Excuse me. Isaiah chapter 44, beginning in verse 6. We read, "The Lord speaks through Isaiah, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and there is no other God besides me. Let him declare it. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order from the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. There is a God," is the point that's being made right here. There is a God, and God specifically is saying, "I am that God." And he goes on to refer to the fact that he tells things before they happen, and there's no other entity that can do that. And he did that numerous times within the Old Testament. The biggest way in which that happened was, of course, through the Old Testament, leading up to and talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if that is true, that there is a God, and it is true, then it is also true that there is nothing like him. There is nothing like this God. Absolutely nothing. And this becomes important as we continue to go through a little bit more of this chapter, beginning in verse 9, because Isaiah is speaking to this people of Israel, and notice what they have done in light of this fact, that there is no God other than God, and there is no God like him. In verse 9, "Those who fashion a graven image are all of them futile, and their precious things are of no profit. Even their own witnesses fail to see or to know, so that they will be put to shame. Who has fashioned a god or cast an idol to no profit? Behold, all of his companions will be put to shame, for the craftsmen themselves are mere men. Let them all assemble themselves. Let them stand up. Let them tremble. Let them together be put to shame. The man shapes iron into a cutting tool and does his work over the coals, fashioning it with hammers and working it with his strong arm. He also gets hungry, and his strength fails, and he drinks no water, and he becomes weary. Another shapes wood. He extends a measuring line. He outlines it with red chalk. He works it with planes and outlines it with a compass and makes it like the form of a man, like the beauty of a man, so that it may sit in a house. Surely he cuts cedars for himself, and he takes a cypress or an oak, and he raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir, and the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for a man to burn, so that he takes one of them and warms himself. He also makes a fire to bake bread. He also makes a god and worships it. He makes it into a graven image, and he falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over this half he eats meat as he roasts a roast and is satisfied. He also warms himself, and he says, 'Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire.' But the rest of it he makes into a god, his graven image, and he falls down before it, and he worships it. He also prays to it, and he says, 'Deliver me, for you are my God.' They do not know, nor do they understand, for he has smeared over their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot comprehend. No one recalls, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, 'I have burned half of it in the fire, and also have baked bread over its coals. I roast meat and eat it, and I make the rest of it into an abomination, and I fall down before a block of wood.' He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver himself, nor say, 'Is there not a lie in my right hand?'" It all seems pretty funny when you think about it. And it just never does occur to them. It never does occur. I mean, they are taking things that were created by God, things like wood, things like stone. Obviously, these are the things, and God points it out, that these things, the rain made to grow. I made these things to grow. They take these things And they bring it down even a notch from that. They take things that God has made and then they turn it into things that they have made. They make these idols. They put in work for these idols. They sweat and toil over these idols. They use part of what they're making and they make their food out of it. And then they take all of this and they dedicate themselves to these things. And they worship these things. And the biggest feeling that I hope we get whenever we go through this is, why would you do that? Why is it that you would do that? And the big question is, when we go back a few verses to God, who says, I am God, there is nothing like me. Why in the face of that would you do that? Why would you seek counsel of something made from your own hands? Why would you worship something made from your own hands? You can have God. You can have the God. This can be your God. I mean, it's bad to worship the things that God has created. It's bad to worship something that our own hands have created. It's all bad. Especially when you look at the face, look at the fact that God is there for us. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 17, Jesus is asked about paying these taxes to Caesar. And this is what he points out in Matthew 22, beginning in verse 17. This is when they're asking the question of Jesus, should we pay these taxes? Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their malice, and he said, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax. And they brought him a denarius. And they said to him, he said to them, whose likeness and whose inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Render to God the things that are God's. I think the ultimate point that I want to bring out of this, looking at this last passage in Isaiah, and what we're looking at right now, is there are things that are only reserved for God. Worship, honor, seeking, devotion. These are the things that are reserved for God. Why would you give that? Let's think about this man who is on this coin that Jesus is talking about, Caesar. Why would you give that to a man? Why would you give honor and devotion and fear? Fear as in how we run our lives, how we operate within our lives to a man. Why would you do that? And here's another, taking it a step further. What about this coin that his inscription is on? Why would you give the honor and the worship due to God to a man who is just made in the likeness of God and a pretty far step below that, and then to this coin that is also, well, is the likeness of this man whom we are talking about? Why would you, thinking about this coin, why would you devote your life to something that is not alive? Why would you seek comfort with something that cannot appreciate you? Because again, it's not alive. Why would you seek answers and wisdom about your life? Whether we're talking about the idols of the Israelites or we're talking about this coin, again, just things of man's hands, why would you seek answers for something that cannot think for itself? Why would you do all of this? Why? All of this thing seems silly in the face of the God that we read about within this Bible. People can have God. Now, a question that I want to ask for us this morning is, what is AI? I feel like I got to clarify this a little bit because there's probably some cattle people this morning that think this lesson is going in weird directions, but it's not. What is artificial intelligence? I think artificial should be a pretty good thing to see within this. AI is different. I don't exactly know what got me thinking about it, but it's just it's different. It's not different in the fact. I mean, it's a lot like Google. It's a lot like things that we have had before. But then you use it, and it's like, okay, this is different. And so it's hard whenever you think about the things that are in the Bible. So, well, how do you find a comparison to that? Well, fundamentally, foundationally, what AI is code written by a human being. And so, fundamentally and foundationally, it is a work of man's hands. And being that, now obviously it's different. It's not like a, it's not like a shovel. It's not like a hoe. It's not like that. I mean, it's, you know, maybe we'd see it as a lot different from these works of man's hands that we see in Isaiah. I mean, it'd be kind of a shock if you ask questions of this thing of your hands and then it answered back. But it wouldn't be. Think about it this way. It would not be all that much of a shock if you knew that there was another person on the other side of that was speaking through it. And it would not be all that strange that there's a whole, you know, collection of people that were speaking through it. And so AI is different in a lot of ways, but it is just a work of man's hands, using man's knowledge, using the things that man can give it. And like I said, because of that, there are things that are reserved only for God that we only give to God. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, in this section of Scripture, the Apostle John is being spoken to by an angel. And this angel has revealed a lot of things to him. In fact, he has revealed even the future. I mean, things that certainly things like AI can't claim. There's a lot of things that are being revealed to him. And what do we see here in Revelation 19 and verse 10? John says, this is how he reacted. Then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours. And your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus, worship God. Worship God. Is that the ultimate point that is being made here? John falls down to worship at the feet of this angel. He says, don't do that. I'm not God. There is only one God. God is God. And there is nothing like him. There is nothing like this God. The worship that we see within the Old Testament and within the book of Isaiah was not reserved just to this people falling down before these idols, which they did do that. But what it also consisted of was them pursuing these things and desiring these things. And I guess I bring this up because there's obviously technology, AI, all these things are just, they're a part of our life, and they are things that we talk about. They're things that I guess sometimes it should throw up some red flags, I think. You know, just how much they're talked about, how much that they are integrated as a part of our life when God is the one who created us. We can be a people whose God is God. We can be a people that's just different, you know, and are expected to be different. We are a people who have been created through the Son of God dying for us to be different, to be people of prayer, to be people, to be people of that are servants to other people, to be people that you think about, like I said, people of prayer, to be people that itch to talk and seek their God for the help of others, to glorify him in their life. Instead of you know, itching to look at a phone screen or something like that. Desiring to seek God and his wisdom. I have to look at my life and just ask, you know, what is my interaction with God throughout my life? Because technology, AI, again, is not God. In fact, it's not even alive. You think about the fact that God is the one who breathes life into things. God is the one who gives the breath of life. We cannot do that. AI is not alive. We cannot give it actual life. It cannot be alive. Only God can do that. And this is another verse I want us to chew on in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19. When they say to you, Lord says to Isaiah, when they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Now, my point in this lesson is not to say that AI is like we need to get rid of it or something like that. It's not really the point. In fact, I use it, and I find it helpful in a lot of things. I guess my ultimate point is these things are not necessary. God is necessary. And that's true about everything. It is God that is necessary. There are big questions that I honestly believe that we really want to know about our lives. We want to know how to be the best, you know, husbands, how to be the best mothers, how to be the best fathers, how to be all of these roles within our life, and how to go through our daily lives. And God gives us answers for that. God gives us answers on how to live our life. God gives us answers. God gives us everything that we need to know for life and for godliness. God gives us everything that we need to go. Why is it? If we're really desiring, I mean, biblical questions, big questions about our life, why is it that we would seek the dead when we really want the living? That's what we desire. That's what's good for us. And I mean, just relationship-wise as well. We cannot, because technology is not alive, we cannot get a true relationship with it because it's not alive. We cannot, it does not really care about us and all of these things. But God does. And what we see over and over again within His Word, within the New Testament, within the light of Christ giving His life for us, is that we are to be people for people. That we are to be people that have relationships with others, and that we make the most of them. Sacrificing ourselves for others. Loving others. Giving ourselves for others. And whenever we don't do that, because this is who God has created us to be, who God has given His Son for us to be, then I honestly think that we're going to feel, at the most, very unfulfilled, or very, at the least, very unfulfilled in our life. Always wanting something else. Always wanting something better, with everything not seeming right. And why is that? Well, that's because we are people that have been created by God for Him. We need to have God within our life, and part of the reason why He created us, or one of the blessings that He has given us in our life, is others. And part of serving Him is serving others. So yeah, if we take people out of the equation, if we take God out of the equation, then we are going to feel unfulfilled and sad and depressed within our life. But we can have God. There is a God. He is God, and there is no God like Him. And I think that this is one of the things to be wary about technology, wary about AI. Again, I'm not saying that we have to just throw it all away, but there are some negative aspects to it. I mean, and there's a lot of things that are talked about it. People really seem to fear it in a lot of ways. And, you know, there's some good reasons to that. Is this technology going to cost people, like, jobs and things like that? Well, yeah, it is. It is. And we know that. That's how technology works. It doesn't make sinning very easy in a lot of ways. It gives us the opportunity to do some things that we couldn't do without it that are really bad things. Yes, of course, that's the case. But there's also a lot of things that it's not going to do because of the foundational facts of this world. Like, is AI going to end the world? Is the world going to come to an end because of it? Or because of these things? I'll say this, Matthew 25 and verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left, and the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It is God who is going to put an end to this world and create the next one. It is God who is going to judge us going into the next one to decide where are we going to go to that. It is not the things of this world that is going to end this world. Now they may play a, God may use them in some sort of way, but it is God who is in control of this world. And it is God who is going to end it. And so why do we, and I'm not saying we here, but I'm just general, why is it that we do not act like that is the case? Why is it that we do not live like that is the case? Being prepared for that, being ready for that. That is the ultimate reason why God has even told us that He is ending the world, is so that we will be ready for it. We can be ready for that. We can be prepared for that. And in that case, we don't have to fear things in this life. Things like AI or whatever it may be. Because we are prepared for the most important thing. God is coming. I will say this. It is always fun and exciting to see all the different ways that you can use, you know, the technology and AI, especially AI. It's always, you know, fun to say, look what AI could do, you know, and to find all these different ways in which we can use it. But the big question is that I need to ask myself more, and I think we all honestly need to ask ourselves more, is what is it that God can do? What is it that God has done? It is God who has created everything. AI, it gives answers. God gives wisdom. AI, it creates images, documents, things like that. God created the entire world. It is God who has given such a great sacrifice for us. Something that's actually worthy of devoting ourselves to. And giving ourselves to. When you think about all of this, who our God is, all that He has done, the God that lifts up nations, the God who brings down nations, the God who separates the sea, the God who has created everything, the God who creates darkness on the earth, the God who gives rains in its seasons, the God that is full of these pages, this God that we can look at, we can say that is our God. And there is no God like Him. Nothing like Him. And so the question is, this is what God can do. What are we going to do because of that? How are we going to live our life because of the fact there is a God? There is no God like Him. The words that come into my mind is the words that were given to Esther during her time on this earth. It was written to her, and who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. And I want us to hold on to that. For such a time as this. Think about the such a time that we are in now. Because it's a pretty amazing time. We're in a time of electricity. We're in a time of air conditioning. We're in a time of being able to reach somebody across the earth in a matter of seconds. Like, we live in a crazy time. But more important than that, far more important than that, we live in a time when Jesus, the Son of God, died on a cross to save humanity. We live in a time where where life and life eternal is actually a possibility for us. We live in a time of the greatest kingdom on earth, and we here in Happy Texas can be a part of that kingdom. We live within that time, and I tell you, we are not given this time, we are not here within this time, we have not been given this thing that is greater than royalty, so that I can spend my life figuring out applications for AI in my life. But how to find out applications for my life in my life. Because we are here, we who are created in Christ Jesus, for His workmanship, Ephesians 2 and verse 10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. That is our purpose as children of God. If we are not children of God, we have a far different purpose. Destruction. But if we are a child of God, and anybody can take that, take that offer, if we are a child of God, this is what we are here for. We are His workmanship. AI, whatever, use it. I mean, it's a tool. It's something that mankind has made. It looks a lot different. It's a lot strange. It does not have life, though. God has life. God gives life. God is life. We have life in Him. We look at all the... Another thing that's kind of funny is just looking at all the ways AI can mess up, especially pictures and things like that. You know, you try to generate a picture and you got hands coming out of heads and things like that, three eyes, things like that. And you look at that and you say, and it's very easy to say, okay, that's not God. But those things are going to go away. They're going to get better and things like that. And yet, we can still look at that and we can look at this all around us and we could say, this is God. The God of this Bible is God, because as real as artificial gets, it will never be reality. This is the God of reality. And if we live our lives devoting ourselves to Him, giving ourselves to Him, being baptized into His Son, and looking forward to life because we're walking in the way of life that He gives us, then we will realize the truth that we are not chasing after the works of man's hands, that we are not worrying about the problems and the fears that comes from man's hands, but we are, and also we're not living for artificial life, but we are living for serving, looking forward to being with the God of life, who gives life. That's something to be excited about. That's something to run through the house and say, this is God, this is my God, look at the life that He has given me. This is the God that's worth finding out, looking at our lives, and saying, what can I do to glorify Him? Because there's a lot of ways that we can do that. And that's an exciting thing. This is our God. The God talked about within this. God who has created everything. God who has given so much for us. God who teaches us. If we truly have questions on how to live life, He has the answers that we're looking for. This is God. There is no God like Him. Pursue, love, give glory to God. If you this morning need to experience this wonderful Lord who gave such a great sacrifice for us, if you need to be baptized in our Lord Jesus Christ, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.